live at Bar Lines at the downtown Nashville Omni Hotel. Monday Night Football tonight. The Titans and the Colts. Floyd, get excited.
Oh, Monday night? You're always excited for Monday night now.
And we're going to be out here at Bar Lines inside the downtown Nashville Omni Hotel with coverage until 7 o'clock. And then, of course, kickoff on ESPN between the Colts and the Titans. Floyd, the last time the Tennessee Titans beat the Indianapolis Colts, you were the special senior football advisor to Bill Belichick. I was a senior at the University of Louisville. I was working in women's basketball for Jeff Walls, the only basketball coach who's still at Louisville. And you were working for Bill Belichick. We've been on the air together now for 2 years. It's been a long, long time since the Titans have beat the Colts. That was October of 2011. Curtis Painter was the starting quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts. Ooh. Matt Hasselbeck, who I think is here with ESPN as part of their Monday Night Countdown crew. Matt Hasselbeck was the starting quarterback for the Titans. Javon Ringer from Michigan State was the leading rusher for the Titans. And they went on to win that game. It's been a long time since the Titans have beaten the Colts. Been some bad calls, been some bad plays, been some bad teams, been a lot of things. But here we are today, Floyd. How do the Tennessee Titans mentally get over the Indianapolis Colts streak?
You know, to be honest, I'm not sure mentally it's as much baggage on this group as it might have been on an older group, simply because there are so many new faces. You know, Dory Jackson and some of the guys that have just that are here brand new. I mean, they really don't like Matthews. You know, he's lost to him twice. That's all he knows. He doesn't know about the other 14 times or 13 times or whatever it is. You know, it was funny because I would talk this weekend. I had a chance to visit with some of the guys on the staff, and some of those guys, it seems like, have been there long enough. You know, Watterson and some of those guys. Now, he may be scarred for life.
Kern.
But, yeah. But I think there are a lot of new guys on there that this really won't mean much. Now, that being said, they know how important the win will be.
See, I could not disagree more, and I've heard that. Well, you know, there's a lot of new guys, and the coach is new and all that. But last year when they played here, when the Colts played here, Titans blew that game. You know, they missed the onside kick. Indianapolis kicks an onside kick, a surprise onside kick, and the Titans don't get it. The Titans miss an extra point with a kicker who doesn't miss a kick inside of 40 yards or 50 yards or whatever it is. This guy never misses. Misses an extra point. Marcus gets fumbled or gets sacked, fumbles the ball for a touchdown. I mean, there was the one play where they threw it over the top to T.Y. Hilton for a touchdown and Rashard Johnson got benched. I mean, the Titans really stunk it up in that game here against the Colts. They really stunk it up at the Colts last year. And so this time last year, I would have agreed. Yeah, hey, new team, new guys, Marcus, Mike, they don't. I disagree. I think there's something to that streak, and it goes back to that story you tell when you coach for the Lions, and then when you were a coach on the Lions staff, and they had a similar streak against the Vikings, everybody in that Lions locker room was super tight thinking, oh, my God, we're going to lose. We're going to find a way at the end of the game to lose it, or just don't lose the game at the end.
Right.
And then when you went to the Vikings, everyone in that locker room sat there and said, oh, well, we know they're going to mess it up at the end of the game. I think the Titans and the Colts are the same way. And so, to me, the Titans can't play to not lose tonight. They have to find a way to go out there and play to win because they have the better football team.
Well, I think both of those teams, the Lions and the Vikings, when I was with them, were veteran teams. And I think if we had a group of guys that were 4, 5, 6-year vets, I would agree with you. I think they'd be scarred. But being that most of these guys are so young and most of these guys really haven't, you know, they haven't experienced a lot of the things they're going to see. And so that's the only reason that I said I'm not sure that it mattered a great deal. Now, if there are some of the older guys that are running around spending a lot of time talking about it and spending a lot of time harping on it, then I would agree with you. You know, that'll, oh, my God, watch out. This is the game we always mess up. you know, with that kind of attitude, then I think those kinds of things perpetuate themselves. But I'm not sure that there's anybody that's doing that as much as it's, you know what, we played lousy against these guys last year. We need to come back and play good, you know.
I can explain most of the streak outside of a handful of ball games. Like, most of the streak, you were terrible, and they were pretty good. You know, they had Peyton Manning, and you stunk. Or they had Andrew Luck and went to the AFC title game, and you won two games and ended up drafting Mariota. Like, so I can get some of the losses.
Right.
But then there's a handful I just can't explain. Both games last year, the Titans had no business losing to Indianapolis. They lost both in excruciating fashion. 2011, they lost to the Colts in one of the last games of the year, and I think it was the Colts' first win. I think the Colts were like 0-10 or 0-11, and the winless Colts beat the Titans with Curtis Painter at quarterback, and the Titans missed the playoffs because they lost that game to the Colts. I mean, that, I can't explain that. And that's, once again, why I stand on my original claim that this time last year I would have agreed. Young players, new team, team's better, doesn't matter. I'm convinced that there's something mental with the Titans. I don't know what it is, but I'm convinced, too, that they cannot walk into this game and think, okay, we can just not lose this game. It's got to be they have to go out there and try to win this game. This is what Marcus said about the streak against the Colts.
It's been a long time since the Titans franchise has beaten the Colts. And has that been discussed at all this week, and given the magnitude of Monday Night Football and all that?
Yeah, I mean, obviously you hear about it. But all we can do is control what we do in practice every single day. Focus on getting better. Focus on how we can build that chemistry to be a successful team. And, you know, when Monday rolls around, you just go out there and compete, hopefully get a win.
So there's a lot of coach talk there from Marcus. But I'm telling, like, Floyd, if this weren't the Titans, I would think, oh, yeah, they're for sure going to win this game. There's no way. But because I have followed the Titans my whole life, and I know how this franchise works when they get into games like this where on paper, you think there's no way they can lose, and then they go out and find a way to lose to the Colts with Jacoby Brissett at quarterback or Curtis Painter at quarterback, this streak has something to it. I don't know what it is. But there is something to it, and they got to find a way to get over that hump.
Well, yeah. I mean, obviously, whether they're part of it or not, I mean, it's been a long, distinguished string of losses. I mean, it's the longest losing streak against one team, like, in league history or something. You know, I mean, certainly current history. So I think you look at that and you say to yourself, hey, yeah, there's something that we have to get over. Some way with that we have to correct this. But, I mean, the bottom line in my mind, I mean, I'm not sure if we do what we're supposed to do and not, you know, you don't have to be a superstar. You're just supposed to do what you're supposed to do. What's your job? Isn't that what we always say? Do your job.
So why have the Titans stunk so bad at doing that?
Well, like, I'm not sure. Again, are you talking about this year?
I mean, I'm just talking about when they play the Colts. They should have beaten the Colts twice last year.
Well, yeah, but I'm not. Again, I mean, I agree with you. But you know what?
They lost to the Colts when the Colts signed Josh Freeman on like a Tuesday, and Josh Freeman played quarterback on Sunday, and they lost.
What was the absolute worst part of that team last year?
The Titans?
Yes.
Secondary. Andrew
What's
Luck.
The absolute yeah. best part right. of their team? Receivers and a quarterback. There you go. Now, we have improved our secondary, and Luck is not playing. So, right there, we should, if we don't have an advantage, it certainly should be even. And I think that's a good place to start.
So, is that you calling for the Titans to win today? Saying they have to win? You seem to be getting there a little bit.
I don't think you have to tell them they have to win. I mean, right now, if they don't win, I think they'll be last in the division. Isn't that right?
If they lose to the – that is right. If they lose to the Colts
– they lose, they'll be last. If they win, they're tied for first with everybody else, but you're still tied.
If they lose to the Colts – remember, the Colts have two wins this year, and their two wins have come to teams that are a combined 0-12. If they lose to the Colts tonight, I said this last week. I'm off the bandwagon for this team. This team stinks if they lose to the Colts tonight because the Colts stink. 615-737-1025 if you want to get in on the Titans and the Colts. And here's a question for the callers. How much does this streak mean to you? The fact that the Titans just cannot beat the Colts. And coming up next, I have a philosophy on how to get over this streak with the Colts. But it's not so much a philosophy on getting over the streak. It's what the Titans should be doing anyways. We'll get to that coming up next. We're live out at Bar Lines inside the downtown Nashville Omni Hotel. Come hang out with us until 7 o'clock. We'll have coverage up until 7. And then, of course, it's time for the Titans and Colts on ESPN Monday Night Football tonight. He's Floyd Reese. I'm Jared Stillman on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Jared and the GM are live at Bar Lines inside the downtown Nashville Omni Hotel. Come on out and join us. We already got a bunch of people out here at Bar Lines today, but still seats available. Come on out and hang out with us. Floyd, I have a theory for how the Titans in this, what is it, 11-game streak to the Indianapolis Colts? 11 in a row.
Yeah, they've lost 15 out of 16.
And 11 in a row.
Yeah.
And I know the way for how they get out of this.
Okay.
Play Titan ball. And I'm not talking about what Mike Mularkey wants it to be, Titan ball. I'm talking about Titan ball. I'm talking about the way they used to play ball when you were general manager of the Tennessee Titans. When that defense, the pass rush would get to the quarterback, and if they ran the ball, then they would just hit the running back on the way to the quarterback. I'm talking about running Eddie George 28 times for 160 yards. I'm talking about that Titan ball. And that's what they say they want to be. But it seems like the last couple weeks, Mike gets away from running the ball. And tonight, no excuses. Run the ball. The Indianapolis Colts defense, not very good, especially up front. Run the ball. If you want to win tonight, Floyd, run the ball. And I don't know if Mike's got to have a pitch count for how many they've got to run it or whatever. But please, for the love of God, tonight, against this crappy Colts team, run the ball.
I mean, I think that's supposed to be their personality.
Okay, but no excuse to not do it.
Yeah, that's supposed to be who they are. So that should be natural. And if that's very natural, and if they do that, then I would agree with you. I think your chances of winning, you know, skyrocket.
But it has not been natural of late.
No, because we're, you know, 2 weeks ago against Houston, we were out of it before we ever got started. You know, it was 21-0 before we could blink. Last week against Miami, we got away from it, in my opinion. That's why that game, of all the games that we've played, I think that game bothered me the most, because that was a winnable game that you didn't play
Titan ball.
Your personality, yeah, Titan ball. And your personality is go ahead and run it, play good defense, keep the defense off the field, play action pass periodically, you know, et cetera. So, I mean, I would agree 1,000%. If they go ahead and do that, then I think they'll be and if they can do it successfully, I mean, the bottom line is our offensive line has got to play better. The offensive line has got to, there's no other way to cut it. We have not run the ball well because we have not blocked well. We have not blocked well because I don't know why. I mean, you can come up with a multitude of reasons, but the bottom line is the offensive line, our offensive line, has to impose their will on the Colts front. And that I mean any way you can do it. I don't care if it's, I shouldn't say that. I mean, we want to be legal. We don't want any penalties, and we don't want to. But some way, somehow, you have to make them understand that tonight is not your night.
Well, it's got to be where the Colts know you're going to run it, and they are stacking the box, and they are doing everything in their power to keep you from running it, and you still gain 9 yards. That is what has to happen. Because you know as well as I do, back in the day, everybody knew Eddie George was going to get the football. And guess what? It didn't matter. And I remember when Mike Mularkey coached in Pittsburgh, and we all knew Jerome Bettis is getting the ball. And guess what? A lot of the time, you couldn't stop Jerome Bettis. That's why Jerome Bettis is in the Hall of Fame. And so that's what I'm saying. You got to get back to playing Titan ball. If they play Titan ball tonight, if we walk away from this game and we say that was Titan ball, they win. And you know, a criticism of Jeff Fisher that nobody liked, and I certainly am in the group and I'm with you guys, I hated how Jeff Fisher kicked way too many field goals. Field goal Fisher loved to kick those field goals. This is a game tonight where if you kick six field goals, you're probably going to win. I mean, and I'm serious about that. If you kick six field goals and you don't turn the ball over and you run it, you will win. But what's going to happen is if you turn the ball over and you put Jacoby Brissett at the 18-yard line, it's not going to be very hard for him to score a touchdown. But if you're playing like you did last week against the Dolphins, you'll be fine as long as you don't turn the ball over. So to me, this is it. Just play Titan ball. And Herm Edwards was on our show Friday, and Herm said something that I kind of disagree with. And it's how the Titans are going to be able to run the ball when the Colts know they're running it. This is what Herm said about the Titans running the ball.
Yeah, it's puzzling. It's very puzzling because that's been the strength. Now, a little bit it has to do with people stacking the box on early downs. And so you can't, you know, sometimes what you have to do to get the running game going when they're doing it to you that way, you got to give him some early passes on first down. You know, you can't be predictable and just say, okay, we're going to run the ball. Everybody knows we're going to run the ball. And on the first down, we're going to run it. Nah, not so much. Okay, let's make 5 yards. Let's throw a little 5-yard pass out there. It's second and five. Now the defense is at a disadvantage. Or you got to create a couple more formations where you can run out of. Or you got to open up the box, take players outside of the box to get players on defense to lead a box. So there's different ways you can run it. You just can't sit up there and we're coming right downhill at you. Well, okay. Really?
See, this is where I disagree with Herm. I think they can. I think the Titans need to tell the Colts, we're running it. And we're giving it to Derrick Henry, and we're giving it to DeMarco Murray, and you know it's coming, and it's coming. You don't correct me if I'm wrong, but a good running team can run it when you know they're going to run it. They don't have to use gimmick formations or pass to set up the run. Or the good running teams can run when you know it's coming. And tonight, if this is what you want to be, and if your offensive line is as good as everybody tells them they are, tonight's the night. You go out there and you play Titan ball and you run it. And I don't care what Herm says. Forget about it. Nothing, you know, herky-jerky about run the ball. Is that fair for me to ask and disagree with Herm on?
Oh, I think, yeah.
No gimmicks tonight. Run the ball.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that it matters one way or the other, but the bottom line is, when we used to have Eddie, we saw eight-man fronts every week. And when we first saw eight-man fronts, it was kind of like, oh, there's an eight-man front. We need to throw it. There's an eight-man front. We need to do something different. After a few games of that, we didn't care. Bring eight up, fine. We're still going to run it, and we'll gain some yards. Now, instead of gaining nine, we may only gain five or four, but that's fine. We're okay. We're still on schedule, and we would continue to do it. And pretty soon it gets to a point where, you know, what we said before, you impose your will, and you put them in such a bind that they're ready to call it a night.
The Titans against the Dolphins, and I'll read this stat one more time. Against the Dolphins last week, the Tennessee Titans ran the ball on first down with DeMarco Murray one time in the first half.
Yeah.
On the first play of a series. Tonight, if they get five possessions in the first half, I'd like to see four runs with DeMarco on the first play of that drive. Feed DeMarco, feed Derek. I'm tired of it. I don't need to see gimmick plays. I don't need to see Decker run and be 2 yards short of the football because he can't catch up to it anymore. Run the ball with DeMarco. Run the ball with Derrick Henry. And if you can't run the ball in the Colts, then guess what? You're not a very good running team. But at least try. So that's how I feel about tonight. If they run the ball, they will win. We'll take calls. 615-737-1025. And you know what's funny about this generation of Titan fan compared to what it used to be like? Back in the days, Titan fans used to get mad. Because even though the Titans would win, that was kind of boring. We run the ball too much with Eddie George, and it's boring and throw and throw and throw. I'll tell you this right now. Every Titan fan I know is sitting there saying, run the ball, Mike. Run the ball.
They see the difference in the results. They're saying, all right, go ahead and run it, Mike. Go for it.
I mean, there was the crew that when Mike got hired and they brought in DeMarco Murray and they said they wanted to be Exotic Smash Mouth, there's that crew out there that said, oh, you're wasting Marcus's ability by not letting him do whatever he wants on every play. And then after they won 9 games last year, I think those guys kind of died down. And you got to the people where everyone's sitting, yeah, Exotic Smash Mouth, run the ball, Murray, Henry, give it to him. And you walked away from the Raiders game and you lost. And you said, what are you doing? Run the ball. Run it. You didn't run it. And then you win a couple games and you're feeling good about your team, which, by the way, the Jags win and the Seahawks win. What were the Titans really good at, Floyd?
Yeah.
Running the ball.
Yeah, pounded.
Then you lose to Houston. Well, you understood because you couldn't run the ball because you're already down 21-0. Last week, you didn't run the ball. Mike, run the ball. Terry, run the ball. Everybody out there, run the ball. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025. Marcus Mariota, according to Adam Schefter, should play tonight. Are we worried about Marcus? Is there any fear with Marcus? We'll get to that next. 615-737-1025. Jared the GM, live from Bar Lines inside the downtown Nashville Omni Hotel. It's ESPN 1025 The Game.
Pocket mobility, the biggest hurdle, I guess, to overcome.
Yeah, and I mean, really, from that standpoint, as well as just getting the ball back to the running backs. You know, you want to be able to go out there and not think about it. Just go out there and play. You know, make sure the ball is getting back to the running backs at good depths. Making sure my dropbacks, everything within the pocket is good, and I can move around to make some of those plays that are required.
Marcus Mariota talking about what it's going to be like to play tonight. Adam Schefter, ESPN, saying he will. All signs are pointing to Marcus Mariota playing today. Floyd, you know about hamstring injuries. You know about quarterbacks. Before we get to the call, the Colts have the 30th ranked pass defense in the league. Do we have any worries about Marcus with maybe not a 100% hamstring today, especially in terms of getting the ball to the running backs, which we talked about last segment, run the ball. It is Marcus's job to get that ball to the running backs. You heard Marcus in that clip right there talk about how difficult that might be the biggest thing for him to do. You're a football guy. What's our concern? How much is there? What do you think?
Well, I don't think I would be concerned with him getting the ball to the running backs. And I really wouldn't be concerned with him dropping back. The thing that you get concerned about, of course, is the instant things, you know, because his knack has always been, if I get in trouble, I've always got the run left. I always can outrun some of these people. And that's where you would get worried, you know, as if there's any of that happening, because if he takes off and starts sprinting around the corner and somebody's chasing him, he's not going to pull up. I think the other thing you worry about really doesn't have much to do with him. But if, in fact, if he is that limited that, you know, if you're a pass rusher now, you're not worried about him getting on the corner. You're not worried about him breaking contain. So you can do things like inside moves and run tricks and anything to get pressure up in his face, directly in his face, simply because he's not going to escape you. So that would be an advantage for them. But I don't, you know, to be honest, I'm going to assume that they're pretty sure about his hamstring, or else they wouldn't let him play. Now, could he still pull it? Could he still take off sprinting downfield? Yeah, he could. But I think, you know, the combination of him knowing it's there and him knowing that, hey, I can only go 80 or 90%, which is still faster than most guys going 100%, that he'll be okay. He's a smart guy.
It shouldn't be a problem if they run the ball. Derrick Henry, DeMarco Murray. James Lofton said before the CBS analyst, James Lofton said before the Titans-Dolphins game, he wanted to see 20 carries each for Henry and Murray. Now, that's not very feasible. But if I get 32 carries between them, I'll feel good.
Yeah, 35 and 15 or whatever, however the numbers work out.
I'm fine.
I mean, I have no problem with that.
If I get 32 between the two of them, so they can have 16 each, I'm good with it. No, that's not 16 each. Yeah, that is. If I get 16 each, I'm good with it. I'm good with it. DeJuan apparently is not. He's up next. 615-737-1025. DeJuan does not want the Titans to run the ball. What's up, DeJuan?
the Titans' run first offense is the equivalency of the Polaroid camera in the picture taking business. It's outdated. Now, statistically, the only way you're going to be successful if you look at the last Super Bowl contenders, I mean, Seahawks, Broncos, and the Ravens. Now, why could they run? Because they had a good defense. We don't have a good defense. So if you keep running the ball, what happens? Now, if you can do that towards the middle of the game or towards the end and wind down like we did the Jaguars, but we had to come out attacking with the pass first. That's the only way it works.
Well, the Titans didn't come out and do anything against the Jags. I appreciate your call, DeJuan, but I'll couch it like this. Take the Dallas Cowboys, for example, right? Like, I don't think the Dallas Cowboys are very good defensively, but when they had DeMarco Murray, they were one of the best teams in the NFC, and they made the playoffs. And then they lose DeMarco, and they replace him with the guy that stole that underwear from TJ Maxx or whatever, and they couldn't run the ball, and their defense stunk, and Tony got hurt, and they were terrible. And then they get Zeke Elliott. Tony gets hurt again, but they run it with Zeke Elliott every play, and their defense goes back to not being terrible. I mean, I think the Dallas Cowboys defense is not very good. I think it's on par with the Titans. But what's the difference between the Cowboys winning and losing? It's when the Cowboys run the ball. I feel the same way about the Titans.
Well, it doesn't matter. If you don't have to be the best personnel in the league to play good defense, if you're only on the field 25 minutes, you can do that. And I don't care who you are, you can be a good defense. When you get into trouble, and it doesn't matter if it's us or if it's Denver Broncos, when you get in trouble is when you're out there 35 minutes, 36 minutes. That's where you get in trouble. And that's what everybody's trying to prevent. And I know what the caller's saying, and that's, I think there are a lot of people that believe that way. But the truth is, I mean, if you can start throughout the league and look at the number of teams that run the ball well and where it sets them up, and it's, you're shocked at how many teams do it. I mean, you really are. I mean, it's, and I think you see examples of it every year. You look at Seattle Seahawks. They win the Super Bowl with beast mode. Beast mode's gone. Where are they now? You know, you look at the L.A. Rams yesterday. Played. Why? Because they had a running back that picked up about 150, 175 yards.
Even the Steelers. I mean, everyone loves the big highlights from Ben and yeah. Brown, but and Bell it was running like a man yesterday.
And they've got the best, you know, a best couple of receivers in the league. But the whole thing is set up by Bell running the ball. And I think that's true throughout the league. You know, you can go to most teams, and that's the way most teams set it up.
Well, the way I look at it is this. Take the Patriots out of it. They've got the greatest quarterback who's ever played the game. So just take the Patriots out of it. And if you look around the league, the teams that are good can all run the ball. And when the Titans win, it's when they run the ball.
Right.
Seattle, they could not run the ball at the beginning of the game. They'd run it minus one. They'd run it gain a two. But what happened later in the game? They ran all over the Seahawks in the second half. I remember how frustrated I used to get when I was 11 years old and Eddie George would gain 2 yards and Craig Hinchcliffe would trot onto the field to punt. And I used to get furious. But in the fourth quarter, Eddie George could run the ball. You played in a Super Bowl. People forget about this. The Titans played in the Super Bowl against the Rams, right?
Yes, sir.
And the Titans were down 9-0 at halftime and 16-0 in the second half. And what happened was the Titans were running the ball a lot and weren't going anywhere. I think Eddie George had a screen pass in the first half that was the only big play the Titans made in the entire first half in that Super Bowl game. What happened to the Rams' defense in the second half?
Yeah, we started pounding it.
I mean, the Rams' defense could not stop the Titans.
Wore them out.
In the second half. That's the formula. This Colts defense sucks, people. They are not good. They are horrible. And they're 30th in the league in pass defense, which tells me this. If you start busting them for a couple of big runs, and now they've got 8 or 9 in the box, because if they don't put 8 or 9 in the box, you're going to run it for 9 yards every carry, and you've got the 30th ranked pass defense, what's that going to do for Marcus and Delaney and Matthews and Decker? And you know how I feel about Decker. But what's it going to do for those guys if the Colts have to all start coming up because the Titans are running it on them? It's going to – I mean, Marcus is going to – that's how you have a 75-yard touchdown pass to Matthews like they did against Seattle.
And that's why your pass defense isn't very good. You know, people want a reason. It's because they're putting so many people up there to stop the run because they can't do it, you know, with just their front group.
In your heart of hearts, what you know about the Titans' offensive line and what they can be, because they have not this season been what they can be, what you know of the Titans' offensive line and DeMarco and Derek and what you know of the Colts, should they be able to run the ball today? Should we walk away from this game saying, you know what, the Titans were able to run it? Should they be able to pound the ball?
I mean, if the mindset is such, yes, they should.
Well, that's my mindset. Why is it not theirs?
Well, we don't know that. Maybe it is theirs. We just don't know that. But I think if you go up there with and I've said before, I mean, you know, to me, the whole thing is the offensive line. And if the offensive line plays the way they have in the past, then we'll be able to run the ball. And it'll make a difference. If it's not, if it's that offensive line that we've seen against some of these others, against Houston and some of these teams, then it's going to be a struggle.
If they can't run the ball against the Colts, then that offensive line's just not good. Then we all got hoodwinked by whatever
they
did last year.
Yeah, I mean, they haven't, you know, gone from the second best offensive line in the league to not counting.
Now, well, I'm starting to worry because that's what it's looking like. I mean, you can chuckle all you want, but that offensive line, I mean, I'm not getting what was advertised right now
so far through this season. They haven't played good. I agree 1,000%.
So why is that?
I don't know.
I mean, it can't be that they're not good, but if you're consistently not good, then the only conclusion you can come to is that you're not good. And the Colts stink. This is what kills me about tonight's game, and I know that you get all you about this every time I say something.
You
like,
get all you.
The Colts are bad. They are a bad team. The only games they've won this year are against two teams that are a combined 0-12. They're the only two teams you can beat
that are
0-12. And it took them overtime against the 49ers.
This is your problem with that.
Hold on. I want to get this on the side because this is exactly what we're going to talk about next. Plus more calls. 615-737-1025. We got a couple calls. We'll take a couple more. We'll get to them. But Floyd's problem with what I just said, because this is exactly what I want to talk about next. It's Jared and the GM on ESPN 1025 The Game. Coming up in 15 minutes, we're live at Bar Lines inside the downtown Nashville Omni Hotel. But coming up in 15 minutes, we'll get what scares the GM the most about this Colts team, because, you know, next week the Titans will play the Browns, who are 0-6, and they're like 1-20 in their last, you know, the last two seasons or whatever. And I'm sure you'll be scared about the Browns too. But
no doubt.
The Indianapolis Colts stink. They have two wins this year, and their two wins are against teams that are a combined 0-6. They're the only two teams you can play that are a combined 0-6, and it took them overtime to beat San Francisco, who then changed their quarterback. And then, of course, they beat the Browns, who, as we've said, stink. So, I believe the Titans, if they don't win tonight, will be a humongous indictment on the Tennessee Titans. But I know the GM, and the GM was going to tell me this is what I don't get. So, GM, lay it on me. What do I not get?
No, this not necessarily that, but this is why that is meaningless, is because before we played Houston, they stunk. Before we played Miami, they stunk.
They still stink.
Before we play everybody except the Raiders in Seattle. And
no, Jacksonville had just beat the Texans by 100. We didn't say they stunk.
Oh, you said they stunk. I'll guarantee you said it.
Not that week.
Oh. And you go with all these teams in the league, they stink. They're awful. They're bad. The worst team in the league is your pick to win the Super Bowl.
I didn't pick the Browns, and I didn't pick them to win. I picked them to go. The Giants.
So, I think we see every week, and particularly this weekend, that I don't care who you are. It doesn't matter what your record is. It doesn't matter who you're playing. In the NFL, every single week you can be beaten. And I don't care if you're the Denver Broncos, you know, 2 years from a Super Bowl win, or you're the Cleveland Browns. Doesn't matter.
See, I do care if you're the Browns. The Browns seems horrible. See, this is the one thing. I mean, hey, come on. Are you going to argue that the Browns don't stink?
I haven't seen them yet, so I don't know.
Okay.
But they're
– okay, Floyd. But this is the thing that I do take away from you where I think you're dead on, and people that watch the NFL don't understand this, is most teams around the league are an 8-8 team. So you're an 8-8 team. Everybody, the NFL is a socialist government from the standpoint that the worst team gets the best pick and they have a salary cap, and it basically makes everybody the same. The difference is, as you always point out, the 10-6 teams are the teams that are really 8-8 that make 3 or 4 more plays over the course of a season that get them to 10-6.
Right.
And the 6-10 teams are the teams that over the course of the season don't make those plays. I'll use the Baltimore Ravens as an example. The Green Bay Packers usually are one of the 10-6 teams because their quarterback, who they don't have anymore, their quarterback is so good that he wins those, he makes those 3 or 4 plays.
There's another backup quarterback, by the way.
The Ravens, meanwhile, do not have a quarterback who is good enough to make those 3 or 4 plays, and that's why the Ravens, who are an 8-8 team, generally speaking, are going to finish 6-10 because they can't make those 3 or 4 plays. I believe the Titans should be good enough to make those 3 or 4 plays. But the Colts, I know, with Jacoby Brissett, are not good enough to make those 3 or 4 plays. This team should not beat the Titans with Jacoby Brissett at quarterback. If I told you before the season Luck will not play, you would say the Titans would win. Now, because the game's here, you're a little nervous and like, oh, no, the Colts, they've got Frank Gore. Watch out for 97-year-old Frank Gore, Jared.
I'm not even worried about Gore. I mean, that's not how we get beat with this team.
Well, that's coming up next is what really worries you about the Colts. But I'm just telling you, the Colts, I mean, I get what you're saying. In the NFL, anyone can beat anyone any given Sunday. Whatever. I'm sorry. At some point, you got to win. And they didn't do it last week when they should have. This Sunday, or I guess Monday, you have got to win. And that's what I'm expecting, and that's why I started the show saying, look, I don't care how it happens. I don't care how it doesn't happen. It's on Mike Mularkey to win this ballgame for this team. That's why. You paid to win. You need to win. This is a bad team. You need to beat them.
Okay.
But like you said, any Sunday you can.
I mean, it is so close. And this is the interesting part about the NFL this year. This year, it's closer than normal.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
It is so close. Every team is 2-3 or 3-2. Everybody, I mean, 27, 28 teams are within a game of each other. And so when you go out and you play these teams, depending on who they played, depending on when they played them, depending on health of their team, health of the other team. I mean, you're going to beat teams that you shouldn't beat, and you're going to lose to teams that you shouldn't lose to. Now, that being said, Miami hopefully was our losing to a team you shouldn't lose to. And if that's the case, then I would agree with you. We need to go ahead and beat Indy.
Plus, but outside of Pittsburgh, I don't see a lot of teams you shouldn't beat on the Titans schedule. San Francisco, Arizona, the Rams.
Did you see the Rams yesterday?
No. I'm not saying that you're definitely going to beat them. I'm just saying, like, the teams you shouldn't beat, like Kansas City and New England are not on the schedule.
Right.
That's why I said other than Pittsburgh.
But, I mean, you said the Jets were awful. Did you see them yesterday against New England?
Hey, I like the Jets now. Starting to come around on the stinky
yeah.
Jets.
Oh, here we go. Flip-flop.
Starting to come around.
Time to flip-flop.
Let's go to the phone. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Let's go to Jeff, who's up next on Jared and the GM, has been waiting patiently. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, guys, don't you, for a successful run game, don't you soften the defense up with the pass game? And secondly, hey, Floyd,
reason
I listen to the station and I listen to you is because I love your opinion. I know when Jared asked my question why the offensive line is struggling so much, it's really struggled over the last 3 out of 5 games. And when you say you don't know, again, I'm listening for your opinion, and I'd love for you to expand on why the offensive line is struggling this year.
Good call, Jeff. Thank you for that.
Good call. The offensive line, let me say this. There's when you see struggling like this, you look at two or three things. You look at one, have you had any personnel changes? No, you really haven't. Same starting group you had last year. Who have they played? Who were the defensive fronts that they've played? And you say, okay, Houston's got a good defensive front. You say Seattle's got a good defensive front. Miami has a good defensive front.
Jacksonville.
And Jacksonville has a good defensive front. So you look at that, there's four out of the five teams that you've played that have a legitimate defensive front. That's part of the problem. But the other side of it, in my opinion, is two things, which is I don't think we're playing with the same tenacity that we have been playing with. And I don't mean fights. I don't mean cheap shots. I don't mean, but I'm talking about, you know, from snap to whistle. And Derek Mason has a term for this. I'm trying to remember what it is. I can't. It's something like finish with purpose or finish with aggressiveness or whatever it is. And I think we're maybe lacking a little bit of that. That being said, I think mixing in more passes, and this happens when you have a young quarterback. As a young quarterback matures, the tendency is, okay, we're going to mix in a couple of more passes this week. We're going to throw a little bit more on first down. We're going to do – well, every time that happens and you get a sack or you get a holding penalty or you get a legal procedure or you get any of those things, it's punt time. You know, you're going to go out there, mess around a little bit, and end up punting the ball. Well, the offensive line feels that too. And so I think we need to go out there and let those dogs eat. And that by that, I mean we need to go out there and say, okay, guys, this is what you've been asking for. We're going to run this ball until you guys drop. Here we go. Ready, break.
And I'm for that. I've said run the ball.
See if they'll do it.
I've said run the ball. And to your point about that, I remember when I went and cut the audio for the Jags game, when the Titans scored the touchdown, Derrick Henry that kind of iced it, Ben Jones was sprinting in the end zone yelling, ball game, and it was like you could tell that tenacity that you were talking about, they were bringing it against Jacksonville. And in the NFL films on Inside the NFL, they had Calais Campbell saying, hey, Jones, let me get a single team. And Ben Jones turned around and said, that was last week. You know, like
when he had 4.5 sacks.
Right. Like, you could tell that was their, like, Mike, they got to get back to that.
Yeah.
And I think you're right. Mike Mularkey's got to instill that by saying, hey, we're running the ball today. That's got to be the way that they get that done. 615. Great call, by the way. Bring on more of those great calls. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll get back to the calls, but what scares Floyd the most about the Colts? I think I know the answer. We'll get to that next. Live out at Bar Lines here in the downtown Nashville Omni Hotel. NFL Football Sunday starts at 5 o'clock here inside of Bar Lines in the downtown Nashville Omni Hotel. Still got a couple of seats. If you want to join the crowd, come on out to Bar Lines inside the downtown Nashville Omni Hotel. In fact, Floyd, after we're done here, I'm getting right on the bridge, walking right over to the game. It is so easy to park on this side of the bridge and then walk right across over, go to the game, walk right across back, and get right to it. So we'll get to that coming up next. It's Jerry the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game.